Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 439th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my my succulent co-host. There we go. I didn't look up an adjective today. SAT word of the day, succulent.
I love succulents.
I have, as you just
so
heard,
low maintenance.
The most sublime of personalities, sublime manic.
Hello.
And then we've got the person that leaves fluff all over my house when she comes over, the fluffiest whimsicott.
I am indeed the fluffiest whimsicott. I don't feel like a succulent. I feel like that's a different kind of grass type.
You got the fluff with the right stuff.
There we go. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, for those of you unaware. A nonsensical name that I came up with when I was 16 in my bedroom and made this podcast that you see here before you. Here before you. It's a wonderful place. We talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to everything else. The Lugia pen holders I bought in Japan. That's the thing that I talk about literally all the time. It's sitting right in front of me on my desk.
You do.
I talk about it more often than I should. I was so excited to get it. You don't even know how visibly excited I was.
Lugia's nice. Yeah. Like, the whole legends look nice on things.
I think they do look nice, except on the original Stitch designs, by the way. Just in case you haven't looked at them, like, so original Stitch put out like their full Gen 2 thing. I'm not sure. I think Sublime's aware, but maybe not Whimsicott.
Yes, I am.
Okay, because I listen to the show.
Yes. So
honestly, I think Zapdos has my favorite original.
Yeah,
the
Hoenn Gia ones
Stitch
are disappointing.
Mm.
I mean, I bought the Totodile one. I'm still waiting for it. It should be here later this month.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it's waiting. It's like the most Thatch shirt that ever existed. It's a Beach Boy style Hawaiian shirt with the Totodile on it. It's just so many things all in one.
Yeah,
it was $100.
It was a birthday present for my wife.
Deserved.
I mean, yes. It's a business expense, right? So
yeah,
I have to buy a shirt that embodies my personality to the fullest extent. So
geez, that's good.
But it's been a good time. I'm waiting for that. I can't wait for that. But yeah, the Hoenn and Lugia ones look awful. I was hoping for more. I'm a little disappointed because like I might, depending on how nice this shirt is, I might just like go buy a second one at some point.
I need to look up their designs because I can't remember what they
are. It's hard to tell you because like each design's unique. But
yes.
The Hoenn and Lugia ones are actually pretty much the same, and I was also really disappointed by like the legendary beasts too. Like the Suicune, Raikou, and Entei ones are also pretty weak.
The Doggos.
They're pretty weak sauce. I was very disappointed with those. But like the Pineco one's pretty cool. It's just him with little he's a pineapple. It's very cute. It's like a really good Hawaiian shirt. All right. But that's enough about Hawaiian shirts. What have you guys been up to lately? Sublime, it's been so long since you've been on the show.
So long, you know? I've been, like, keeping track of everything I did because it's been so long, you know?
Yeah, I know. You must have.
Since I last checked in, didn't Community Day happen?
Oh, yeah, it did. I didn't play.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. And that's my story, is I didn't play because I was too busy doing other things.
I didn't want to do Community Day just because, like, I was just like, this is a really good way to break quarantine, and I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be that guy that breaks quarantine for Pokemon Go.
Well, I mean, they even did it for, like, do it from your home.
I don't understand playing...
Yeah.
I don't have a desire to play Pokemon Go while I'm just sitting on my couch.
Yeah, very that.
I just don't have that desire.
I hate the Lugia and Ho-Oh, by the way. They're okay.
They're okay. They're like, good. They're meh. There's more exciting designs.
That's exactly right. There are.
There are more exciting designs. I like, especially in Gen 1, like there's some really cool ones. Like the Fira one is probably the most unique one I can think
of. Like there's a lot of really good ones.
There's a lot of really good ones. And I feel like when you put out like a bleh one, it's just like, no, I don't want that.
Mm.
That's all I can think of. But they had like a really cool like Lugia hoodie on Pokemon Center that I think I'd want instead of that. That's something I'll think about. What about you, Whimsicott? What have you been up to? It's been a minute since you were here, though.
Yes. So since the last time we spoke, I did end up buying Animal Crossing. So I played a little bit of that.
I saw that on my Switch. Yeah. I saw it popped up on my screen and I'm like, yeah. It was like a day after we talked to you.
Yes, exactly. The day after we talked.
I was just like, no, I'm not going to buy it. She gave it.
What happened was I started looking at a YouTube playthrough. And within like 3 minutes, I was like, wait, so the plot of the game is you go on an essentially forever vacation on a remote island. And I'm like, that is exactly what I need in my life right now. So I turned off the YouTube video and I bought the game.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. Like that's 100%. That's a very good characterization of what it is.
That was exactly what my, like, psychophysical need was at the time.
And it's the perfect game for social distancing.
It really is. Promote. It really is.
There you go. It's the correct message for our times.
Yeah, it's not even about the social distancing. It's that I've been working so much.
Yeah, no. You said I'm not going to buy it because I don't want to be distracted. I'm like, no, you need that.
I did need that. And I did play quite a bit of it. Not a ton. But enough to help me relax.
Get that fill. Yeah, no, because like Animal Crossing is, I was explaining to somebody, it was like right before we had like the mandatory stay at home here in Ohio. I almost said Oahu. Mm. I don't live in Oahu. I live in Ohio.
Oh, but we wish.
I wish I lived in Oahu.
Maybe someday. You never know.
Maybe one day. Maybe.
Yeah.
It happened because like Doom came out on the same day as Animal Crossing. I'm like, I'm pretty excited for Animal Crossing, talking with this guy. And he goes, I never understood that game. I'm like, well, what do you have to think of? You know, those guys that have those little Zen gardens with like those little rakes and the rocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they just play with that. And he goes, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's what that game is.
Yeah.
It's just a game like that. I have zero other problems with it.
I have to say, I'm not so interested in all the like landscaping and getting the rare flowers and stuff.
Yeah.
All I care about is filling out the museum because I adore blathers. Like the little tweety British owl that just wants to, you know, help you build an amazing aquarium and a butterfly enclosure. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is everything I've ever wanted in a game ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I mean, that also has like some Pokemon aspects to it, I think, to an extent. It's just collection. I mean, gotta catch them all, gotta catch all the fish, gotta catch all the bugs.
Yeah, but I'm like, I love museums and aquariums and stuff
like that.
This
one looks particularly nice. I will say that. Like, the experience walking through this one is actually like walking through a museum. So, like, I've been very impressed.
It was mind-blowing when I realized what was happening. I'm like, okay, no, this is all I care about right now.
Animal Crossing's doing real good with that.
It's really good. And then I did play a bit of Pokemon because I started a new game on Pokemon Shield. Okay. I haven't done much because, again, not a lot of free time, but I do want to say that at some point my party was a Scorbunny and 5 Wooloo, and I think that's very on brand for me.
I think that's what you should go through the whole game with, just 5 Wooloo.
I've been putting it off until DLC drops, like another playthrough, just because I want to go through like the game again, but without the lens of like this was a mistake. The entire time, because like I was definitely jaded the first time I went through. I was just like, I'm like, because like I went in going, after I play this, Pokemon's never going to be the same to me again. Like I went in knowing that. I'm like, I don't know, and I was just like, I hope it's for the better and not for the worse. And like I think I came out like with mixed feelings. Obviously,
it's
and
a wash.
Yeah, like there were good things that came out of Sword and Shield. Like I definitely want to say like that's something that I feel like people who review the show don't realize is that like there are good things about those games that I like.
Yeah,
it's very glossy. Yeah. It had a nice coat of paint.
I mean, no, I thought, I mean, some things they did very well. I mean, first of all of the competitive, like, enhancements they made, like just
conveniences,
like the all of the quality of life improvements they made, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love being able to access the box on the go. I love nature mints. Right. I love XP candies. I think raiding is a really cool feature. I think they kind of messed up with the latest raid rotation, but
are you hating on the Whimsicott? Are you hating on the Whimsicott Thatch? Be careful.
I'm not hating on the Whimsicott. I'm not hating on the Whimsicott. I'm just hating on, like, the Pokemon that, like, so here's my thought process on it. Like, so the latest raid rotation, for those of you who are unaware, because it just happened, so, like, this is probably part of the news, but it's like competitively popular Pokemon. And mm-hmm. So, one, if they're competitively popular, the chances of me having a competitively popular Pokemon ready is very high. It's very high. So why do I need to catch competitively popular Pokemon? No, I need you to, like, drop, like, an extra move on Drillbur, like Hydro Pump, and then make me excited. But that's perfectly fine.
For all of 5 minutes.
Yeah, for all... It was, like, 12 hours, I think. But it was... but I think you need, like... Something like that would be exciting. Like, something that's just, like, maybe this could be good, you know? Give me something that's like, maybe this could be good. Or even, honestly, I would probably have been more excited if they would have been like, hey, we dropped in the Alolan starters.
Oh, yes.
Like, that would have been more exciting, I think, than like, hey, here's another Whimsicott or Togekiss or something like that.
And by the way, that is how they should do Alolan forms. Like oh, how yeah. they do them yeah. in Pokemon Go. Like, you just have an Alolan Raichu raid, and then you have an Alolan Raichu that's caught in Galar.
I think the only one that's an issue is Alolan Raichu, and also right now, no,
Weezing?
I think no, Weezing's not
Alolan
really
Alolan Persian.
Cantonian Weezing's a problem.
Yeah,
no, Alolan Persian's fine because you can still breed them in Gen 8.
Interesting.
Because if you breed an Alolan Persian from Gen 7, you get an Alolan Meowth.
Okay, so here's what I read when I was finishing my Pokedex, and I ended up having to transfer a Persian in.
No, you can get a regular Meowth.
The gift Meowth. I had a gift. The gift Meowth.
No, Meowth, gift Meowth doesn't
Cantonian
evolve.
Cantonian Meowth, right?
The Cantonian Meowth.
Yeah, but I bred it. But you can breed it, right?
Oh, can you?
Mm-hmm. So I bred it, thinking you can. I bred it with a Ditto, thinking I should get another Cantonian Meowth. And it came out as a Galarian Meowth.
I think you need to give it an Everstone.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think you need to give the non-regional form an Everstone.
There's a way to do it.
For the egg to come out as the non-regional form.
But there's a way to get the regional forms bred. Like, you can breed the mm-hmm. regional forms.
Interesting. I did not know that.
It's like, you can breed an Alolan Vulpix. You can breed, you know, stuff like that.
So it just has to be the one holding the Everstone.
Yeah, I think, don't quote me on that. I think... I'm like 90% sure there's a mechanic like that. It might not be the Everstone. It might be another item, but I think that's the way you do it.
It is possible, though. It is possible. I mean, you could also make a trade. There's a trade for a Cantonian Meowth.
So
anyway.
In that case, it's possible to have a Galarian-born Alolan Vulpix.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
That is 100% possible.
I did mm-hmm. not know that.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
I feel enlightened.
Everything but like Raichu right now is a problem. It isn't a problem. Raichu's the one that's a problem because you can't.
Yeah, because
you can't get
you just
Raichu.
Get a Pikachu.
Yeah, there's no Alolan Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your problem. But yeah, I'm hoping like Isle of Armor or something. Like, oh, it's somewhat tropical. Here's some Alolan Pokemon or something like that. But even then, I think you're right. They should just do a raid. Like, yeah, Alolan Raichu raid. Let's go. Because I was very surprised that they didn't have something like in Let's Go where you could just trade like Raichu infinitely to get Alolan Raichu.
That was so nice, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's a really
the
good
way
quality
they
of like.
It?
I mean, they handled it to an extent as well in Sword and Shield, but it was only for Cantonian Meowth and for Yamask.
Mm-mm.
And I guess Unovan Yamask. So I mean, there's your problem there, but. Yeah, so good times. This is a good place to stop, though. We're going to kick it on over to the news, so let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. The news is here, and we've got some things to talk about because the Pokemon community has been doing pretty much nothing. So this is a great time to just dig into some news. There's been so much news for such nothing. So in general news, like we mentioned earlier today, the max raid battles have shifted and are now promoting the competitive Pokemon. So you can get Togekiss, Tyranitar, Dragapult, Whimsicott, and I know Rotom Wash and Rotom Heat are both exclusive to different games, which was interesting because like Rotom Heat's not used that much, but Rotom Wash is obviously. Rotom Heat's definitely like the second best Rotom, so good for them.
Remember in Gen 6, back at Gen 6, so good. Yes. Rotom Heat was one of like the best Pokemon to use for VGC.
Yeah.
Because there weren't a lot of good fire types.
I would say Rotom Heat, even now, is probably used more in VGC than in singles. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Rotom Wash is, like, crazy popular. It's around. But I would say...
Sure, it's good.
It's good. I think... I think Rotom Wash and Rotom Heat are probably seeing similar numbers. Maybe. Together. Because Rotom Wash is... I don't want to say nerfed, but he's just not as good as he used to be. He's not countering as many things as he used to. Which is the bigger part of it, but that's really cool though. I've been we did that on raid night for patrons on Thursday, and it was all right. I mean, like I said in the intro, I don't think it's that exciting to have things like Togekiss and Tyranitar and Dragapult because I already have these things. Like I don't really care. The Rotoms are cool though. I think it'd be really cool just to do like a whole raid rotation of just Rotom.
Yeah,
I think that would be really cool.
Except for flying. No one likes
you. No, you bring flying. You bring flying.
No, you just have flying and you meme the heck out of it.
Also, for those of you unaware, the anime in Japan has stopped airing new episodes. And it's just going to be airing reruns right now because of the COVID-19 pandemic. They haven't been able to get together and do proper voice editing for all those things. And you have artists who are at home doing what they can. So obviously the production of the show has been slowed down, which honestly is a little bit interesting for me because I'm wondering if like the dub will catch up to the sub again. Yeah, so that would be interesting. But that's it for the general stuff. And I'll switch over to Whimsicott because Whimsicott's got some video game stuff.
I do have some video game stuff because Season 4 of Ranked Battle has begun. It's going to go from May 1st to June 30th, so that's a slightly longer season.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bring every Gigantamax Pokemon except for Melmetal. Melmetal is not released yet. It's not legal.
Yes, please
remember
that.
You cannot have it.
You cannot have a Melmetal through any means. Melmetal does not exist. Gigantamax Melmetal, as far as you're concerned, is like AZ's Floette. It does not exist.
Not even that. Does not exist.
It does not exist.
So you can bring essentially anything as long as it has been caught or hatched in Galar.
Yeah. And so no Alolan Raichu.
No Alolan Raichu, unfortunately. And the April rewards for the International Challenge and Ranked Battle League are now available to claim. That is the Great Ball Guy shirt, and I really regret not having had the time to battle and get it.
You only needed to do one.
Tells you how busy I've been.
Yeah, I know. I did it. I haven't downloaded my shirt, though. I need to go do that because I really want it. Because I think there's a new International Challenge coming later this month as well.
Yes.
I think they're stepping up how many they're doing just because of the pandemic.
I mean, there's nothing else they can do. So
I'm also a little sad because like typically we got these like fun monthly challenges. Like it'd be like, here's this fun meta, and now it's just like, hey, go play VGC. And I'm just like, but I want Spooky Cup.
I mean, when you don't have all the Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. It's not as fun to do like a red, white, and blue tournament or something.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
To be fair,
after Isle of Armor,
we're only like 2 months away, less than 2 months away now from having like an extra 100 or so. Sigma brought up a good point to me that they might say hey, we're adding 100 new Pokemon in the DLC, which is what like they say on the website, right? Like it's coming with 100 new Pokemon or 100 plus new Pokemon with Isle of Armor.
We can't say 100 Pokemon.
He says it's coming with like 100 plus, and he said, you know what they could do though? Like that could be like 100 plus that are in the Dex, because the Pokemon being added are still technically separate from the DLC, right? Like the Pokemon that are getting added to the code are different than the DLCs. Like, you know what they could do? They could have another 20, just kind of like they did with, what they did with like Sword and Shield in general, like how there's 35
with,
in the
like
code.
The Alolan starters.
Yeah. With like the Dex, yeah, but you exactly. Can get them. Yeah. So you can like maybe like Totodile's in the code. But it's not catchable. in Isle of Armor.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, he said that, and I'm like, it's not an unbelievable thing to see happen.
It's not, but they need to have something to sell you next year.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting another round of DLC in 2021. But they could honestly and this would be super easy if they go, this is the Mega Evolution DLC.
Oh.
Oh god. Don't hurt me that way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the Mega Evolution DLC, you don't even need to add Pokemon. Oh. Like, I think you do that. And it's just like, here's Mega Evolution. I don't think Mega Evolution's unbalanced in this meta at all. I think you could realistically just pull a Mega Rayquaza with Mega Evolution.
Mm.
And you go, hey, your Mega Pokemon can't Dynamax. Womp womp.
Yeah, of course.
On top of that, you could go further and just be like, the Dynamax energy is what you use to Mega Evolve. So sad. You can't Dynamax.
And they say, sorry, we're really, really sorry.
Yeah.
We're so sorry.
Yep.
But they won't.
I think, I don't know.
Late stage capitalism got me like, what?
I mean, it's a good move. I'd be interested. I think DLC is coming next year, though. I think we're going to see two more. Just because the attach rate for this DLC has been so high. It's been stupid high. Like, I think somebody did a poll, and I've said this on the show before. Somebody did the poll. It was like 80 to 90% of people who own Sword and Shield are getting the DLC.
Crazy.
That's like a crazy high attach rate for DLC. Like, nobody has that kind of attach rate. Pokemon will, though. Which is just nuts to me. That's just crazy. It's crazy. But yes, let's move on to Pokemon Go. Sublime, tell me
Pokemon
more.
Pokemon Go home news, because you don't be going nowhere else, okay? You don't be home is what's happening. For the month of May, so starting now, it's going to be a special weekly research event called Throwback Challenge. Oh, I love a throwback, you know? And isn't it wild that Pokemon Go is old enough that it, A, has more Pokemon than Sword and Shield, and is old enough to do throwbacks. What? I'll always go there.
You went there. I know you will. I know you will. I'm much better with the DLC. The DLC makes me feel better.
We'll see if it exceeds Pokemon Go's number with that.
We'll see. It probably won't until the fall. Not until the fall. Not until the fall.
After both, though. Yeah.
Yeah, after both it will.
Yeah. So it's going to be, each week is dedicated to a different generation throwback. So currently until the 8th of May, we're doing the Kanto research, which will result in being able to get a Mewtwo special encounter if you never got that. Also, they're introducing Shiny Venonat because they needed to introduce it somehow.
Yeah.
And then from the 8th to the 15th is going to be Johto research, where you can get a Ho-Oh special encounter and get Shiny Dunsparce, because we all love Dunsparce.
And Shiny Dunsparce is adorable.
It's just shiny. I just feel like the audience for Pokemon Go just goes crazy for shiny anything.
But it's a really good shiny.
Is it? I haven't actually seen Shiny Dunsparce.
Is it blue?
I feel like
it's blue.
Instead of the blue, it goes pink. It's great.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That's good for
Dunsparce. Then it's going to be Ho-Oh research. Ho-En, not Ho-Oh.
No, it's Ho-Oh.
Ho-En
that's
research.
Ho-Oh. Oh, well, Ho-Oh
is
a special
Ho-Oh.
Research.
I'm saying then, after that.
Okay.
From the 15th to the 22nd of May will be Ho-En research, where you can get a Groudon. And they introduce Shiny Skitty. Oh, that'll be cute.
I hate that it's only Groudon and only Ho-Oh. And that you can't get
it's
the
It's like
other.
They chose... Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you got to make decisions.
I mean, I hope it happens again, because that'd be really cool if it happens again and it's flipped, like, later this year.
Decisions had to be made.
Just because, like... So, like, I have both Ho-Oh and Lugia, but I only have Groudon. I don't have Kyogre. And so that's disappointing for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I only have... Kyogre and not Groudon.
Okay, well, that's good
Groudon
for you.
So I'm excited, yeah.
That's
it
good
is.
For you.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, well, Sinnoh's the one letting us all down. Okay? Because from May 22nd to the 29th, you can get Cresselia.
To be fair, I don't have Cresselia.
I don't care about Cresselia enough to want it.
I don't have Cresselia.
It's a Pokedex entry.
I need it for the Pokedex entry, so I'll go get Cresselia. Mm-hmm.
I guess. And then they're adding Shiny Glammeow. I will not evolve that. It'll stay as a Glammeow. Yeah. And if you complete all of these events, you will receive an event called Throwback Challenge Championship Tie-In that runs from June 3rd to the 8th, where you can capture Galarian Meowth. Oh.
It's done. Oh, so now I have to do this.
Galarian Meowth.
Now I have to sit on my couch and play Pokemon Go.
This is how you get the Galarians in Pokemon Go now. You're going to get the Meowth Stunfisk, Meowth, Zigzagoon, and Darumaka.
I'm really upset right now.
Maybe it'll be really easy to do.
I have to go sit on my couch and play Pokemon Go now, and I'm not a fan.
I mean, I don't mind. Last night when I couldn't sleep, I caught a shiny Teddy Ursa.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I love Teddy Ursa. It's so cute.
So underrated. But anyway, speaking of research and research breakthroughs, it's a new month. And for the month of May, the research breakthrough reward is Shinx, which comes with increased candies when you catch it. Yay, I suppose.
Shinx is really rare, so that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with Shinx doing it. The thing that I really get a lot now, or I see a lot now, is people complaining like, oh, it's just Shinx. I already have Luxray. And it's just like, yeah, but like, you know the people that don't just play the game since 2016 every day?
You know, like, people that like have actual hobbies and lives outside of it.
Yeah,
know?
So like they're fine. Like Niantic's doing it. I don't know if it's because they're trying to like get more whales or if it's because they're trying to actually help out like older people or newer people to the game. But like they're doing a really good job with it. Like I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it's fair. And they've also announced the Spotlight Hour events for me, and none of them excite me, but whatever.
Bronzor is kind of exciting, I think.
I suppose. May 5th, my anniversary. Shellder with Double Catch Stardust. May 12th, Sunkern with Double Catch Experience. May 19th, Puchiana with Double Catch Candy. And May 26th, Bronzor with Double Transfer Candy.
All of the last two are kind of, well, the last three are exciting. Everything but Stardust is exciting.
I think Stardust is the most exciting one.
I like Stardust. I want to trade with
my
sister.
If you get really high level, if like your high-end Pokemon Go, I think Stardust is the most desired resource.
Really? Yeah. I can believe that. I can believe that. So the thing that we, the other thing that's going on is remote raid passes have been added to the game. Three can be purchased for a single Pokecoin currently as a limited promotion because of honestly current situations. But what happens is if you can see a raid like on your map, you don't even have to be there. You can just tap on it and it takes you to that raid, so you can do it from a distance. I think it limits the
as
number
long
of
as
people
you don't
currently.
Live in the boonies. That's nice.
Yeah. So like I can see like two or three gyms from my house, so like that's good for me. Like I see raids there all the time. I'm like, man, I could get out of my bed and walk over there, or I could just stay in my bed, and now I can. So that's good news.
Yeah, I can't go out and walk over there, so this is really nice for me.
Yeah, I think it reduces your damage, though, from what I heard. Like, your damage
is
reduced.
Like, say, yesterday I saw a one-star Clink raid.
Yeah.
I only have two Clinks. I might like to get a third one at some point
absolutely.
To have, like,
yeah.
the full living Pokedex. So I might do that someday.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great thing that they've done. I mean, I think being able to do this is fantastic. I hope they do it in the future where, like, if I'm best friends or just, like, ultra friends with somebody, I can invite them to a raid that I'm going to. Because I think that would be really cool. I mean, we're all ultra friends here, I think. And so I could be like, oh, Whimsicott, I'm going to do this. I found this really cool raid. And you could be like, oh, give me one sec. I'll do it. And then you could just, we could do it remotely. Because, honestly, that's been my biggest gripe with Pokemon Go raids. Because they expect me to go make Pokemon Go friends. And my friend circles are full.
Yeah.
My friend circles are full, Niantic. Please stop. please stop at making me make more friends. All right, Sublime, there's a couple more things. I'll let you take them. And just
Just a couple more things. Darkrai is now the featured raid boss, so you can get a Darkrai from your house. That's nice.
I already have a couple. It was really...
I don't think I ever got one, so that's good. It's good that they keep recycling things.
Like, it was right before Stay at Home went into place. Like, they did, like, that cool, crazy, like, weekend of, like, extra Darkrai raids or something like that. And I went out with a friend of mine, like, a friend that I already had, not a Pokemon Go friend.
See? Because you already had a friend.
I already had a friend, Niantic. And we went out and we did, like, a bunch of Darkrai raids with some people. Like, I caught a shiny one. It was a good time.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And then Niantic has also confirmed that there will be no new Go Rocket events until September.
Which is good. That needs to happen.
Yes. And also, love this, if you have an open daily research slot, it will now automatically fill up at the end of midnight each day.
And it should.
Amazing.
At midnight, yeah. At the end of midnight. So, yeah. Now you don't got to go spin nothing.
Yep.
There it is. There you go.
Well, I think that was the biggest problem. Exactly. It's like, oh, yeah.
I really
like
how I didn't participate, but I loved how they handled Community Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good that they're doing it in a way that you can play at your house.
Yeah. very responsible. I mean, they got to keep making money. That's how they can get you to still play it responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this is most of the news. We're going to have some more giveaways planned for the patrons later this week. The other piece of news is we're only like 5 iTunes reviews away from 400. And I'm a greedy person and I want to hit 400. So I want to do like a push for that. So like just small minor Puckle news. Like we'll do like a giveaway for a shiny Pokemon of like the Puckle community's choice. When we hit 400 reviews on iTunes. So that could be like this week, it could be next week, it could be next month. But I just want to let that go out there. Like, hey, we're really close. Push us over the edge. The more reviews we have, the more people find the show, and the more people that find the show, the bigger community we can have, and we can do cooler and bigger and better Pokemon things as a community. So I really want to, I just want everybody to know that. But on that note, that is it. We are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Sublime and Whimsicott are going to be operating as a team today to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions submitted to us on the Discord in the Trivia Submissions channel. That is the only place that we put trivia questions, on the Trivia Submissions channel on the Puckle Discord server. Okay, now that that's out of the way, that's where we get these questions from. They're just all Pokemon-themed, by the way. These are all Pokemon-themed trivia questions as well. Not Puckle-themed trivia questions. Pokemon-themed trivia questions. Moving on even further. Welcome to this part of the show. We have 5 of them. Each worth 1 point apiece, except for the one question that isn't. Depending on how poorly Whimsicott and Sublime are doing, it will be worth 2 or 3 points to try to get them back on track. They will also be getting a lifeline in the form of a hint that they can use. However, if they get all the questions right without using the hint, they can cash it in for an extra point at the end for a possible total of 7. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to TeePublic, and you, a trivia submitter who has their trivia read on the show, and it's a good trivia question, will be able to be entered into a raffle to get $20 of credit to AnimeGravy.com, the sponsor of this segment, where you can get any kind of geekdom art that your heart desires. I actually just bought one of their recent like D&D posters. It's like Adventure Awaits.
I love their D&D posters.
Their D&D posters are great.
Roll 20 looking stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Their D&D posters are really cool.
With the dice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love their D&D stuff. So it's really cool. Yeah, go over there, look around. Maybe you want to submit a trivia question and get some cool art from AnimeGravy.com. On that note, let's go ahead and get started. Our first question today is going to be from Thatch Needs to Find Firefox. That is going to be from Murray, and he wants to know, what non-Dragon-type Pokemon has the ability to legally know Draco Meteor? And I will put this as a hint that it's from an old event distribution.
Okay. We are obviously cutting out stuff like Smeargle.
Do you think it could be something like
Smeargle Arceus? Does technically win. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, because it is legal.
Yes.
But so an old
I feel
event.
Like in Gen 4 they did a lot of like legendary events.
Yes.
So I was thinking maybe like a legendary Pokemon or something. They gave it to it like level 1, you know?
So if it's Gen 4...
I was thinking Arceus.
I was thinking Arceus too, but I feel like it's something a little more specific. Because it's one of those very Japanese events, you know?
Oh, do you think it could be Jirachi because they do that... Year.
I don't remember it ever getting Draco Meteor.
I don't either, but they give everything like a bunch
but they
of
give
stuff.
It everything.
Yeah, like they've had so many events for it.
I do think it might be either Jirachi or Arceus.
Between those two, I'm leaning more towards Arceus.
Mm, Interesting. I was leaning more towards Jirachi after you said it. Because it makes more sense. Because Arceus, like, it can do whatever. It doesn't need Draco Meteor. Just give it a plate. It's got judgment. So, I don't know. Which one do you want to go with?
I don't know. Which one are you... I don't know.
I like Jirachi better. I like your idea.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Let's go with Jirachi.
Jirachi is correct.
Okay, way to there go, you go,
Sublime. Yeah, it's been given away, like, I think six times. Six times, yes. With Draco Meteor. Six times.
Yeah, they always give it something.
There was something back when they used to have Nintendo Zones, which was a thing for a hot minute, where you could get Jirachi with Draco Meteor. It was given away at GameStop with it. Latin America got, like, their only Jirachi event was a Draco Meteor Jirachi. Australian Summer 2010 Jirachi, Japan Summer 2010 Jirachi, and in 2013 at the Tanabata Festival, they did Jirachi with Draco Meteor. Like, lots of Jirachis with Draco Meteors.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jirachi's given away a lot.
I love Jirachi so much.
All right. So thank you for that one, Murray. Our next one is going to be from... This is a really long question. I don't know if we're going to use it. We're going to use it anyway. Let's do it. This one is from Shark Finnegan. Outside of Generation 4, there is only one mainline series game that you can obtain both the West Side and East Side forms of Shellos within the same game. All of the other games are either missing at least one form, have version exclusives, or required through multiple playthroughs. Which, I'm going to say, which generation is it? I'm not going to say game. But yes.
Okay. Like,
I would think Alola. I would think Gen 7, because you have a bunch of islands, so maybe, like, an island has a different form.
So, no. In Alola, you can only get the blue one.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. You can only catch the blue one. The pink one has to be transferred somehow. That's what I remember. Because I remember thinking, oh, last time they only gave me the pink one, and I like the blue one, and now I get the blue one, and I'm a happy girl. But... that would mean that in Gen 6, we only got the pink one. And so I know you can get the blue ones in Galar, not the pink ones again.
Yeah.
So I'm
What about Gen 5?
Gen 5, I don't even know if it was ever catchable in Gen 5.
Remember, it says obtainable. It says obtainable and not catchable.
Obtainable. Oh, that's a whole nother story. Which means it might be something like an in-game trade. Or, so if it's an in-game trade...
Or a gift or something.
Yes. If it's an in-game trade, I think it might be Alola? Like, there's someone that...
I'm thinking either it's Gen 6 or 7.
I'm thinking... so I was thinking if it was Gen 6, the one that was missing might have been in the Friend Safari.
That's also what I was thinking about the Friend Safari. But that's catchable.
Exactly, it's catchable. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking there might be either an in-game trade in Alola, or if you go through the wormhole in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you get the other version as a wild encounter or something.
Oh, okay. I like that.
But that's also catchable. I don't know. I'm leaning towards Alola.
Let's just say that. We have like a 1 in 4 chance.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with Gen 7.
Yeah, let's go with Gen 7.
Gen 7 is correct. It in only Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Not Sun and Moon, by the way. In the Seafolk Village, you can trade a Grand Bull for the opposite Shellos. It's, I think it's the West Sea Shellos. As opposed to catching the EC Gastrodon.
Yes.
So you can get both in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, but not in the not in any other game, except for I guess Gen 6. You can catch one or the other, depending on whether you have Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
that is that is true. it's not a probably. I know the answer, but
okay, sorry. sorry. It was a probably in my head. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Black and White 2, you can do it as well, but it's version dependent as well.
Okay.
It's very cool. I love it. All right, so our next question, so thanks to Shark Finn again for that. Our next question is the Pokedex entry, as always. You guys are 2 for 2, so that's actually really good. So this one is going to come from MissingNo729. It's Pokemon Ultra Moon Pokedex entry reads, In the moment that it gulps down its prey, the inside of its shell is exposed, but to this day, no one has ever seen that sight. Who's that Pokemon?
Could you repeat it?
In the moment that it gulps down its prey, the inside of its shell is exposed, but to this day, no one has ever seen that sight. Who's that Pokemon?
And what is the Pokedex?
From Ultra Moon.
Ultra Moon.
Ultra Moon. Okay, something with a shell.
Yeah,
from Ultra Moon that gulps down its prey.
Ooh. Huh.
This one's pretty hard. If you guys get it, I have many kudos for you.
Now that he said it, I'm almost tempted to go for the hint. But let's use up our minute before that.
Like, Turtonator, maybe?
Turtonator doesn't gulp down things.
That is confusing.
Yeah. So, I was thinking something like a sea creature, like, I don't know, Toxapex. Ooh, I like that.
Has a shell, right?
But you do see the inside.
Maybe you don't. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm
thinking Cloyster.
I like Cloyster, but you do see Cloyster closed and then opened, and the actual creature is the pearl inside, so you do see inside the shell. Thinking
maybe there was something further, like it opens wider. I don't know.
Maybe. Gaslord has a giant open mouth all the time. You see all the way back to Kansas City.
I don't think
it
has a shell, though. You know?
No, it doesn't have a shell. This is really hard. Do you want to use the hint?
Yeah.
I'm open to using the hint. We might need the hint.
Let's do that.
There's a lot of hints I can give you. I just don't want to give it away. Let's see. So this is a dual type Pokemon. One of its typings being Steel. It is also, I will say, it's not a Gen 7 Pokemon.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
Steel type with a
It's a dual type.
I'm thinking Escavalier. Because you but
this Pokemon has a shirt on Original Stitch as well.
Okay.
Oh, Fortress. Fortress maybe.
That sounds like a good idea, actually.
Okay, because, listen, if it's got an Original Stitch, that means it's Gen 1 gotta be Gen 2 if it's a Steel type, right? Because they only added, like, what, 7 Steel types in Gen 7 when it was first added?
Yeah, so
two of which
are
Magnemite and Magneton. Nope.
Nope.
Steelix, nope.
Nope.
Yeah, I think it's Fortress.
Yeah, it sounds very, very, very plausible. I'm down with that.
Fortress is correct.
That's
a hard one. That, like, I saw that
really,
and I'm like, but you guys got the first two right, so I didn't feel bad.
Okay.
thanks to who is that? That was Missing No 729 for that one. So our next question is your 2 point question. You get 2 points depending on what you get here. This question is from Claude9, because the other one that Ruby put there is too hard. I told him that last night. He didn't listen. Claude wants to know is which moves in Generation 8 that will hit with double power on a Pokemon that uses Minimize? There are how many moves here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you name 4 of them, I'll give you 2 points. 2 points per move, or for two, okay. 1 point per 2 moves.
Stomp. And that's the easy one.
That's an easy
one.
We
know Stomp.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe Body Slam?
Might also be Body Press. I think there was one that I heard about this one and I thought it was funny for some reason.
Pulverizing Pancake. Oh, wait, that's a different generation. Never mind. That's not allowed.
Okay, so, it was, maybe High Horsepower or something. Like, I want to think it's like a ground type move that's not Earthquake for some reason.
Stomp.
So stomp. Well, you need more to get another point.
So
yes.
Stomp.
I want to say.
I'll give you like you can do like 3 guesses that are wrong.
Okay. Do you want to go with Body Slam and Body Press? Because
I think we should guess both of those because those both sound like they could be.
Body Slam is correct. Body Press is not.
Okay.
So you have 1 point. You have 1 point. So you have two.
Okay.
You need to come up with two more moves. There's six left.
Okay. Geez.
How are there so many moves that do that?
I want to say like hammer arm and wood hammer because it's hilarious. Should we try one of those and see if it's right?
Yeah, let's try one of those.
Okay, so let's say hammer arm.
Hammer arm is incorrect.
Oh, okay. So probably wood hammer is also wrong.
Right. Let's see. So you have stomp, body slam. What's something else where you crush or smash someone? Crush claw?
That sounds nice, but also like... what would you use, like...
Why would you use stomp, you know?
I mean, stomp, you stomp on a bug because it's shiny.
Maybe you crush something in your hands because it's been minimized.
Yes, that makes sense. Let me think. I think there was a ground-type move, like
Roto Tiller. Oh, what about Heavy Slam? I feel like Heavy Slam would double.
Yes, either a Heavy Slam or Roto Tiller, something like that. Does Roto Tiller do damage?
I don't think it does, although I don't know.
So it's probably not that.
All right. So I think Heavy Slam's a good guess.
I like it. Let's go with that.
Heavy Slam is correct. That's three.
The pressure is on.
You know what? If Heavy Slam counted, maybe Heat Crash does.
Oh, why wouldn't it? It's like a fire type version of that.
Yes. We got Heat Crash?
Heat Crash is correct.
We did it! Okay!
The four you were missing were Dragon Rush, Steamroller, Flying Press, and Double Iron Bash.
Steamroller is the one I was thinking
about. I am
very happy
we came up with what we came up with.
Yeah, you guys got 2 points though so far. So you guys are five for four right now. 5 for 4. So next question is your base stat question, as always. So this next question is from Poliwhoa. Which flying type Pokemon has the highest base defense?
Okay.
Okay, let's start with Ho-Ho, because this is always a good guess.
Is what, 130?
Something in that vicinity.
I think it's 130.
Okay. Flying type Pokemon.
So that's higher than Gliscor, because Gliscor is 125.
Wait. Skarmory
is 140, that's right. Is there anything above 140?
How much does Corviknight have? I think it's more mixed, right?
It's definitely less. It's got good mixed bulk, but it's not like skyrocketing in anything.
Okay. Is there flying type mega that's super defensive for some stupid reason?
I don't think most of the flying type megas were really offensive, I think.
Yeah.
I think Skarmory probably is what it is, because 140 is really high.
That's really, really high. Let's give ourselves a moment in case
if it was special defense, it would be Lugia and Ho-Oh. But for regular defense, I think it's Skarmory. I think you were right.
Yeah, it sounds like it's right. So let me think. So the genies don't get that high. That one is all HP.
Like all of the legendary Pokemon I can think about are not high defense like that.
No, not like that.
Yeah.
And, Skarmory is a steel type, so usually...
Skarmory is like all defense and nothing else is impressive about it.
Exactly. But I think that's really a good high.
Yeah, 140, yeah.
That's offensive. That is also very offensive. And I cannot for the life of me.
I think we should just guess
anything
Skarmory.
Else. Yes. I'm done with that.
Skarmory is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got 6 points today.
Nice.
So that changes up the standings, obviously, because we just restarted. So in first place, we have Sublime with 11 points, followed by P. McGee and Whimsicott tied in second with 6 points, followed by fourth place Seth with 5 points, and then everybody else has yet to get on the board. Welcome to the game. All right, so that is it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to take a short break and be right back at you guys with the topic. We have another 5-star review this week from Woolly Mammoth on iTunes. Great pod, listen every day. This is one of the few pods I listen to when they drop. Great pod through and through. Keep the content and the great work. And thank you for my new shiny butt stallion from your stream. You guys rock. 5 stars. Well, thanks, Woolly Mammoth. Again, we're only 5 reviews away from hitting 400 reviews on iTunes, so if you can go and listen to us over there and review us, we'd really appreciate it. But with that, let's move on to the topic. And welcome to the topic. The topic this week is types. What do they mean? What are they?
What's up with types?
What's up with those things? What have we got?
What are we thinking about types lately? You know,
what are types? What are types? I mean, this is more of like a smorgasbord because like we all had different ideas about typing and things about
it. Types.
I think Whimsicott had a really interesting like point to start off with, though. So I'll let her jump into that.
Okay, so did you want me to start off with the first point I made
yes,
to you, the second,
I don't know.
The third?
Whichever one you want.
You have been thinking about recently.
Just whatever one, and then
I
we can jump into
I rambled a lot off the air.
Yeah, yeah, whichever one.
I was playing Shield, and I realized there are not a lot of grass types in the Galar decks, by which I mean, you know, new grass types.
Yeah.
Galar, born.
What are they? It's like Eldegoss and like...
Eldegoss and the Apple family and the starter.
Okay.
And that's
Eldegoss,
that's pretty much it.
That's boring.
Yeah,
that's really boring.
That's yeah. And as you know, I'm a big fan of grass types. And I was like, oh, we have another Gen 4 fire type situation. And then I realized.
Not really.
When I was playing through the game the first time, I went
There's plenty
through
of grass
the entire. Yeah, no, if you, but I only use new Pokemon when I play through a new generation for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So, and when I played through Gen 8 the first time, I could not find the fire type that I liked to put on my team because it
I
was all about
way.
The Karkul and the Sentiscorch, and I did not choose Scorbunny because I'm Sobble Squad, and I didn't have a fire type, and I felt bad. I was like, I've always had a fire type and grass types, and they're like my staple types. And I finished the game with a bunch of typings that I really would not have considered having in previous games. Like I had a bug ice type, a ghost type. I had a fighting type. It was very weird for me. And it got me thinking types. I think either have a different meaning now than they had back in the first generations, or kind of mean the same thing, but we're approaching them in a different way. Because, you know, even competitively, when you play Red and Blue and they're teaching 8-year-old you how to Pokemon, they tell you, oh, it's all about type matchups. And even now, when I'm blah, blah, blah years old and I'm trying to put together a team, I'm like, oh, I have a fire type weakness. I need a water type on my team. And then I make a team and the team sucks. And I'm like, why does it suck? And then I go online and I see Aaron Zhang playing with like 4 rock types and winning. And I'm like, okay, so I think I'm approaching this from the wrong perspective.
Well, I think relating to what your point is like when you first start trying to think about how you want to make a team and you're new to it, you think, how do I cover every single type? And
yeah,
you think once you're more experienced,
a-
you don't ask that question. You ask, how am I going to win? Or just like, what does this Pokemon accomplish rather than just
exactly.
what's its type?
Yeah, I think...
And types can be an avenue to do that, but they don't have to be exclusively through that.
Because I think something that if you just think about types, you're trying to boil down 890 Pokemon into 18 categories with types. Mm-mm. And I don't think that's entirely appropriate. I mean, we were talking about it in between the show with Tyranitar as the example, right? I mean,
right.
So Tyranitar's got, you know, a ton of weaknesses.
So many weaknesses. It's like, when you think about its type, it seems like a bad die.
I mean, Tyranitar's got, I mean, it's rock dark type, so I mean, it's weak to water, it's weak to ground, it's weak to grass, it's weak to fairy, it's got quad fighting weakness. I mean, it has as many weaknesses as a grass type. Tyranitar's still really good. Tyranitar accomplishes a lot of things. And it's, I mean, Tyranitar throughout, like, the generations, like, I would say from, like, Gen 4 onwards, has done a variety of different roles. And that's just because Tyranitar can accomplish different things depending on what situation you want to put him in. And I think that's something that, I mean, it's an evolution of just competitive Pokemon. You steer away from types and you steer towards the Pokemon. You learn to categorize the Pokemon differently than just with the types. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good, like, starting tool for competitive.
Yeah.
And it's not like type doesn't matter either.
I think what propagates it and makes it worse is, like, you have these things like Maryland's team builder, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you go and you put the Pokemon in, and it's like, well, you're really weak to fire types. And it's like, yeah, but you see, this one Pokemon can pretty much just destroy them anyway. So who cares if I'm weak to fire types? And so it'd be like saying, oh, you're weak to fire types. You're like, but no, I have a Terrakion, so I think I'll be okay. But that's a completely different story.
It's also that, you know, for a long time, types had sort of a competitive identity. Like, you think of electric types and they're frail, they're fast, they're special attackers. You think of grass types, they heal themselves, they bother opponents, they tank. And then it changed.
Well, so, okay, so you want the real answer to that? So you're building these stereotypes off the types based off of, like, their original existence. Like,
Been so many iterations.
No, it's not even that. It's not even that. Like, you're just saying, like, oh, man, electric types are special attackers, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, yeah, I would agree with you up until Gen 4 when we had the special physical split.
But that's just because you liked Electivire.
No, that's not why. That's not why. Like, even Luxray was introduced in that generation as a physical attacker. I mean, I'm not just talking about electric types. I'm just talking in general. I mean, the physical special split changed what typing was. Because it was no longer like, oh, I'm a water type, so water type attacks do special damage. Rock type moves do physical damage here now. I mean, I guess rock's a terrible choice because, like, you have Power Gem as the special option, and that's it. But, like, fighting moves, like, you have Focus Blast now as a special option, or a Sphere, stuff like that. And before, we didn't have any of that. It was like, yeah, they're punching things. They're a physical attack. It's a problem for us, maybe not so much for the newer generations of Pokemon players. Because, I mean, we grew up with it and we have these, like, preconceived notions from gens like 1 through 3, where they definitely follow that stereotype. I don't think that that's incorrect to think that, especially based on those three generations where they were basing the attacks off the types themselves.
Yeah.
And the type of damage. And so I think that's definitely, like, I think part of that, because even then, I don't think any of us were playing competitive at that point, but I think that's a preconceived notion that's just, like, stuck in our brains.
But I would argue that the types had a playstyle attached to them, at least.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. And I think that's, again, just based on move pool. And our move pools have expanded significantly.
Mm-mm.
Well, not anymore. They did the culling of the moves. But to be fair, who needs jump kick when you have high jump kick?
okay, like true. That. But I'm thinking for such a long time, you could only do Leech Seed with grass types. Yeah. And then last generation, we had Celesteela running around Leech Seeding everything, and
that
nothing made sense anymore.
Yeah. Okay, but that we don't talk about Celesteela. Celesteela is like a dark mark in Pokemon history. Whether or not Seth will accept that as an answer or not. But that, I mean, it was a dark mark in Pokemon history. Celesteela was, just because it was it was a weird Pokemon in general. But I mean, yeah, no, you have Pokemon that can run different moves, and I think we've shifted from this type centric focus to, like, a Pokemon design centric focus, which is cool.
Yeah,
I think that
more Pokemon we have, like, the greater
diversity
we're gonna have of what we consider what a type should have been originally.
Oh yeah,
I think that helps. I like that. I prefer that as well. I mean, it kind of also reminds me of, like, walking into Pokemon and being like, yeah, I should have as many moves of the same type as possible as the Pokemon, because stabs are really good. One of my like most defining notion, like, memories is, like, I don't even want to say as a competitive Pokemon player, but just as, like, a Pokemon memory in general. So, like, Nintendo Power. This is dating me. The magazine that Nintendo used to send out on a very daily on a monthly basis, for the longest time, I think it was for the first 2 or 3 generations of Pokemon, ran a specific section in their magazine called, like, the Pokemon Corner or something like that, Pokemon Center or something like that. I forget exactly what it was called. I have the magazine sitting behind me. I can always look. And what they would also do is they would rate people's teams. People would send in their teams and they would talk about them. Which was just like,
I remember this.
To 10-year-old me, that's a really
during
cool
Gen
thing.
Gen 2. Was this during Gen 2?
They did it from Gen 2 to, like, Gen 1 to, like, Gen 3, I think.
I remember it during Gen 2 a little bit.
I remember it, but one of the things that happened to me was, so, like, for those of you who are also unaware, like, competitive Pokemon did have, like, a circuit, quote unquote, even in Gen 1. They actually brought on, like, there was, like, a week where they brought on just, like, a generic, like, some kid sent us his team, and then here's the guy who just won the world championships equivalent at the times team the next month. You can just see a drastic difference between the teens, because one of the things that they said to me was that they said that stuck with me was because like some kid had a Blastoise on his team and he's like, "Rate my team," and Blastoise has like Hydro Pump and Surf and stuff like that. And and to 8 year old like me, I'm like, "Yeah, that's my Blastoise." And then the magazine's like, "It's probably not worthwhile having both of those. You should just pick one or the other and then put this other move on there and then you have better coverage." I think that's something we don't think
and
about.
And then you discovered the idea of coverage. I remember as a kid, like, my big aha moment, like, playing Gen 1.
Yeah.
I think it might have been, like, Pokemon Yellow. Is like, oh, non-attacking moves are good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, being able
when
to sword shield, sword dance.
Yeah.
And being able to, like, knock things out. I've only more recently, like, I'm talking, like, in my adult life, been like, X Attack's not a bad item to play through with.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like I had that happen as like an adult. Oh, I can just use that and not have to worry about like having Swords Dance on my Pokemon. Cool. Yeah, sounds good. I'll use X Attack this turn. So like I've had those moments recently, but yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, you have to, in terms of typing and like learning competitive and stuff like that, it's definitely a process. Like, I don't think I would be where I am in the understanding of how to play Pokemon without like all of those years of aha moments. Like, there's been aha moments for years. Like, it hasn't been,
and there's
like
aha moments for types, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's true. I wouldn't say that isn't true at all. I mean, I think for me, it's more like you develop as a player, right? Types are a really good place. Like, it's just like, here's a good way to archetype Pokemon. And not to mention, you still have like that very but you have that complicated rock, paper, scissors matchup system that I think most of us still have memorized. I still mess up a couple of them. The one that Bo used to yell at me about all of the time was I would be like, "Yeah, fighting resists ground," and he'd be like, "No, it doesn't, Thatch. Fighting does not resist ground." And that's the only way I remember it now. It's just Bo berating me. That's how I remember it.
Well, you're probably, because doesn't fighting resist rock?
Yeah.
Oh, rock, ground. I could see how someone would think that.
Yeah. So, like, I always got it confused but now I just have that, like, in my head. It's just Bo yelling at me.
I think you bring up an interesting point. Like, now I think of learning how to Pokemon as learning math. Like, you learn your fractions, which are types.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to move on to, I don't know, elevating thing to the power of X and square roots and stuff, but you're still using fractions.
You go from fraction to like algebra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you still use all of that, but you couldn't have gotten to the point where you're using more advanced stuff if you hadn't learned your fractions properly.
Yeah. No. I mean, even when you get to the point where you're just like, I have to worry about certain Pokemon, I don't have to worry about specific types.
You do calcs for that Pokemon, not for the type.
Well, yeah, but even when you get to that point, like, type matchups are still, I mean, they're somewhat important, because the thing that never goes away in terms of team building, I think, and just won't, maybe in VGC it's not as important, but even then, I think, to an extent, VGC is just a different beast in general compared to something like singles. But like, let's go to OU, for example. Like, let's go to OU singles. Cores are very prevalent.
Yeah.
And cores are pretty much like, here's a set of typings that are really good in defensive synergy with each other. And typing is more relegated to a defensive synergy than an offensive synergy at this point.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, so they're still important. Like, you might still want a fire, water, grass core or a fairy, steel, dragon core or something of that nature.
Yeah. It's like, You need to remember that typing exists, otherwise you end up like Whimsicott when she did draft leak that one time and half her team had a quadruple weakness.
Yeah, it's just Pokemon. Like, I mean, that's the game. Typing's important to understand in general. I think if you're gonna use any category to categorize Pokemon in like your first outing in competitive, I think typing is the one to use.
It's the easiest one. It's right there on the paper.
Yeah, I think that is the best one to use because it's still important even when you get to those higher levels of play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, let's try to get as many Pokemon that cover different types. I mean, that's how I built my first competitive team. I like was just like, let's make sure I have a resistance for everything and I can hit everything else super effectively. And that's how I built mine.
The game does teach you to think like that because they divide gym leaders up by types.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
They even make it kind of like an identity thing. Like, I am a water type trainer. I love the sea. I love water type Pokemon. That is my aesthetic, if you will.
If we want to say, I think this is a good place to segue into something like slightly different for the competitive. I personally don't think typing, like, because we were talking about how typings like had like, hey, the particular play style.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that now that's not as true.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we all agree that. I think it's time to get gym leaders away from that and just like Pokemon game design. Yeah, it's cool. It's easy to be like, hey, it's this type, and then you go catch whatever wild Pokemon. But I think it'd be cool to be like, this gym leader is actually based on this type of battle style, right?
I don't think they'll ever do that. And the reason why is because there are always going to be people new to Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I don't think doing gym, like, you can still have a couple gym leaders that are based on type, but I don't think you should make that the main gimmick. I don't think that's nearly as exciting. And especially after, you know, 20 some years. Like, yeah, you've done that, like, obviously.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, Sublime has a point. Like, even in Alola, they didn't even have gyms, but the trial were still type-based.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not saying that's good either, right? So...
No, but, I mean...
Right, like, there will always be, like, people who are young kids that are new to Pokemon, and you need the
chance. I don't think you need to baby children it. Like that.
Listen, there's a reason they use fire, water, and grass for the starters.
I think... No, I'm not saying that's not a bad... I'm not saying something like that's a bad idea. I think you could do something like a... if you really want to, like, pound home the idea of, like, type advantages, you can do that for a gym or two. Like, you could do a Gen 5 situation with, like, Crest, Chilean, Silen, and be like, hey, you pick this starter... Oh, here's another Pokemon of the type that's super effective to the Pokemon you're about to go fight. That's super effective to your starter. Mm-hmm. Here's like a type triangle, and you get introduced to that, and then you go to the next one, and it's just like, hey, I'm about statuses. I'm going to teach you about status effects in Pokemon.
Okay, so type is the first of eight gimmicks. Yeah,
it's just like the first of eight gimmicks. You could add it onto the like the gimmick thing, and you could be like, oh hey,
I don't think they're ever going to do that.
Oh, they're never going to do it, but this would be a much better game. It would be a much better. I think even as a child, like it would be cool because like let's like go back to Gen 1, and you could think of something like Koga. So first of all, let's talk about Koga. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we really want type gym leader Thatch. Koga, how many poison type Pokemon did Koga have in Generation 1? Answer this question for me. Anybody know the answer? Because the answer is zero.
Zero?
I think I think he had a Venomoth. I think he had a Venomoth.
Yeah, he had a Venomoth.
An Arbok or a Weezing?
No. That was in. If you're thinking of Yellow, that's different. Yellow's teams are different. But like Koga may have only had a Venomoth. Let me double check. He had like no like if you went through his gym, all of the trainers in that gym ran Drowsies and Hypnos because they were trying to do was poison you, and Drowsy and Hypno got poison gas, and that was the entire gimmick of that gym was, hey, I'm gonna poison you. And I think that works out really well because we all remember him having like Weezings and stuff, and he just didn't
a Golbat. I don't know,
he didn't have a goal. Let me pull up his I've pulled him up. So in red and blue, original red and blue, maybe I'm wrong. I am incredibly wrong. He had coughing, muck, coughing, wheezing. Never mind. I was incredibly wrong.
So all poison.
Yeah, but every other trainer in that gym didn't have a poison type. I know that for a fact.
We all know the real imposter in Gen 1 was Agatha.
That is true.
That's true.
Agatha
was basically a poison.
The poison type Elite Four
Agatha
member.
Agatha was the poison Elite Four member all along.
So I'm incredibly wrong. Thatch was wrong. But if you do go through the gym, Fuchsia City Gym, every other trainer in the Fuchsia City Gym only has like Drowsies and Hypnos. Like, no joke. Kidding you.
No. I remember it. I believe that.
I think it's very on brand to just be like, hey, I'm going to poison you. And you could do something like that. Like, hey, my gimmick's that I'm going to try to poison you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of did that with the dragon type gym in Sword and Shield.
No, the dragon type gym, I think the dragon type gym is probably one of the best gyms in Sword and Shield because of that reason. It tried to have a gimmick outside of types.
It had two, actually. It had double battle and weather.
He was essentially a ground type gym leader, but we can talk about that another day. him saying like, hey, I'm a dragon type gym leader, and then not having all dragon types and just having like these cool gimmicks that he's trying to use, I think that was fantastic. That was one of the things I praised about Sword and Shield when it came out, and I'm still praising. I think that was done very well. And I would like to see more of that. I would love to see, like I said, like, hey, here's the type matchup gym. Here's the gym that tells you about this. If you really wanted to breeze through the game right now, you could go ahead and go, hey, I'm just going to go collect a bunch of Pokemon in the route beforehand that are of the type that's super effective to the gym I'm about to face. And you can get through it very easily, get it done very easily, be done.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, sure, that's something, I guess. I don't think Pokemon games need to hold your hand quite that much. They didn't in Gen 1 or Gen 2. They're already holding our hand throughout the whole story anyway, so like, let me have a little bit of something, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they could add. You know, it'd be very easy just to like, not to get rid of just like type-based gyms, but to just make the gyms more interesting. Like give them like a different flavor, because types don't mean the same thing that they did in 1998.
Mm, yeah. You know what? Now that you've mentioned it, what with the second to last gym being the one with no Dynamax capabilities, it's like, you can almost see that that was the idea. Like the first three gyms are the classic fire, water, grass core, and then you start moving away from that, and the second half of the gyms are the gimmicky gyms, but then, you know, the second half of Sword and Shield was done in like half a day, so they didn't have time to flesh that out.
Sword and Shield's a sandwich that's all bread. That's how I describe Sword and Shield.
Sword and Shield is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich where they ran out of jelly and there was like a tiny little drop at the bottom of the jar and they were like, well, it technically counts as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes, that's a very good way to put it. They had the foundation, they didn't have the filling, I can say that much. I think Sword and Shield had to be the way Sword and Shield was. Like, I don't think you could go from, hey, we had trials to now we're back to gyms and then be like, but the gyms are different. I mean, the game's already had some blowback, but they still sold well because
I think if you would have done that on top of everything else they did, though,
like it would just be like way more like people would be complaining about it. I would be sitting here praising it. I think other people would be like, I'm the person that would be praising it, but I'm also the person that was upset about other things that they did, other decisions they've made. I think the people that were completely 100% happy with Sword and Shield would have been the ones that were just like, well, this was kind of different and didn't like the change.
Hmm. I mean, you can see it, like, if they had done it and if that was their intention, it would have been a step in the right direction, because you have normal gyms that are tied to types, but you're sneaking in the gimmick concept at the same time.
That's what I would want. I think you would need to keep the type, but you can add gimmicks.
Yeah, I think Raihan just was, like, a perfect example of what I wanted to
do. Which is what the Dragon Gym is.
I think just having this really cool, like, oh, I'm a dragon type gym leader, but not a dragon type gym leader is really cool.
Can we also take a moment to say that the fact that Raihan, who is a serious competitive player, who thinks about strategies and stuff, cannot ever beat the dumb kid with the dumb Charizard. And that's just a representation of what is wrong with the Pokemon franchise as a whole.
I just think it's really, really, really cool. That Raihan is just like, he is the biggest, coolest thing. And I think we could do something like that if we move types away, like from the central focus of gyms, because there is more to Pokemon. I mean, like we said, like status conditions are like really big in Pokemon. You could have double battle gym like we did here. I mean, even with like Lee Zan Tate type double battle gym is cool too.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need as many gimmicky Pokemon that are just the same Pokemon twice. Though, for double battles, Plusle and Minum, Solrock and Lunatone, Volbeat and Lumise, maybe we don't need that. That's okay. We don't need that. That's fine. I'm okay without those Pokemon. but it'd be really cool to see something like that. I don't know. Like I think you could pull out 8 strategies and make that a thing. I think you could do that. I mean, especially if you just like parse out the status conditions on top of that. Like if you were just like, this is toxic, this is paralysis, this is confusion.
I don't think there should be a whole gym dedicated to paralysis.
No, but like now you do have enough stuff. Like you have terrains, you have weather, you have status, you have types, you have double battles, you have, I don't know, whatever. You're starting to have enough stuff.
I think with ice type gyms, like you could really pull off an ice type gym that's all about hail.
Yeah, Aurora Veil and hail and yeah. Or you could have something like abilities that do weird stuff. You know, there's
like,
plenty of material.
That's just something really cool. You could even do something stupid. Yeah. That's not anything that matters at all. And do something like the inverse battles and make that a gym. Like this gym's an inverse battle. That is hard, but it was fun and you could do it.
That's a really hard one, though.
It died with Gen 6. It was only like one trainer anyway.
I thought it should have kept going. I thought that was like their most inspired idea for like, you know how they always try to come up with some unnecessary new battle type every generation. I thought Inverse was the smartest one they had in a long time.
Sky Battles, guys? Like
Sky Battles.
Sky Battles was such a bad idea.
Yeah, we don't need Sky Battles. We don't need Sky Battles. But I did love Inverse
so
Battle.
Dumb.
Because it made Ice good defensively. As like, what world are we living in? A world where Avalug has a chance, you know? Inverse Battles are great. I wish like that they were still around. Exactly. Like, you know what we don't need? We don't need rotation battles, but we do need inverse battles.
And triple battles weren't bad. Triple battles were okay. Mm.
Yes. Good riddance. Actually, don't triple battles still exist? I thought they did.
No, they just break. They break the system.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, it's also the thing, like, you have to think,
too many
because
Pokemon,
the reason they got rid of it in Gen 7
yeah.
is because the one thing that we all, like, praised, like, when Gen 7 came out, they're just like, look, the trainer's on the field with the Pokemon! At that moment, I go, so they already, so every battle's got the processing power of a double battle, and I'm like, I wonder how they're going to handle six Moltres, and then they're just like, we're just not going to! And I'm just like, okay, that's a good way to do that. That's a good way to, like, because, like, the icing on the cake would have been like, oh, yeah, we're gonna let you also have this Moltres costume on at the same time as, like, the six Moltres battle.
Do you think that's why in Gen 7 the terrains completely covered the battle background?
Possibly, yeah.
So, because that's very smart, if that's the case.
They're finding ways around it.
Yeah. It took me, like, 4 years to figure it out, so good job.
But on that note, this is a good place to stop. We'll wrap it up here, and we'll take a short break, guys. We'll yell at you about some ramen, and we're gonna kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's P-U-C-L, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 003, Venusaur, the Seed Pokemon.
Its Pokedex entry from Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum says, after a rainy day, the flower on its back smells stronger. The scent attracts other Pokemon. So Venusaur's rain shake brings all the boys to the yard?
And yet it's always used on Sun teams.
Okay, so I would like to point out, just for, like, everybody that ever listens to this podcast, and is just like, Charizard's the best Pokemon ever, because there are those people, Ryan. So, competitively, fun fact, ever since Generation 1, the best Kanto starter has been Venusaur. Like, the most consistently highest tier Kanto starter has been Venusaur. Fun fact.
But Thatch, what about Mega Charizard?
Mega Venusaur was just as good as Mega Charizard. Fight me.
Oh, I know. I was just playing devil's advocate.
I know. Fight me. Mega Venusaur has been, like, consistently the best Kanto starter since Generation 1. Like, fun fact, every single time. Like, Blastoise has always been... Well, Blastoise and Charizard swap for second. But I would say between those, like, it's never like a close second and third. They're always very far apart. Like, Mega Blastoise is worse than Mega Charizard by a long shot.
Yeah.
But like,
But before Megas,
Blastoise was probably better than Charizard.
Blastoise had Rapid Spin. What did Charizard have besides a quad Stealth Rock weakness?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Blastoise had more use before Charizard got its Mega as well. So they swap. But Venusaur's always been really good. I mean, outside of its Mega.
The original dual type starter.
Yeah. Rip Mega Venusaur, but regular Venusaur actually has good stats still. I mean, base HP of 80, base attack of 82, base defense of 83, special attack and special defense of 100, and a base speed of 80. Not bad.
Chlorophyll is what saves it.
Chlorophyll makes a good... 80's not a bad...
It would not be good today if it weren't for Chlorophyll.
Yeah, Chlorophyll helps because you're going to double that speed, and that's really big. And, I mean, that puts Venusaur on a speed tier, which allows it to dominate with that base 100 attack, and it's... Yeah, I mean, Poison-type's gotten better offensively with the addition of Fairy. Yeah. And on top of that, Grass isn't bad. And this gen, for some reason, they gave Venusaur Earth Power.
For some reason, for very well-deserved reasons.
It had Earthquake before.
It had Earthquake, but not Earth Power.
So why not? Like,
because now it can utilize its special attack for both its ground attack move now. You don't have to run mixed Venusaur.
There used to be physical Venusaur though. So like,
There did used to be, but now you don't even have to worry about it. Physical Venusaur doesn't exist anymore. It's fine.
Yeah, you don't need it. It doesn't even get knockoff anymore.
It doesn't have knockoff. Nothing has knockoff anymore. Because they cleansed the knockoff Pokemon, thankfully. I mean, they did a lot of things to try to really balance the meta this gen, and I think reducing the number of knockoff users really helped. I also think removing hidden power honestly really helped. Like, I was scared about that. I'm still scared about that, mostly just for Unknown. I want Unknown to come back. I want him to have a life. Unfortunately, Unknown doesn't get to do that, but right now. But maybe they'll figure out a thing for Unknown. I'm kind of hoping that they're just like, it turns into like a curse situation where like every Pokemon that has hidden power like can't use it, but Unknown's fine. Unknown's good.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for that to happen because I want Unknown to come back in, and I really think like in the Crown Tundra it'd be really cool to just have like Unknown dungeons again where you go try to catch them all.
Yeah.
I don't know why I enjoy that, but I like catching all the letters.
Because you like cereal as a child?
Because I like catching Pokemon. I think that's
that's fair.
Yeah, I like catching Pokemon. But let's dive into this team. This is from a person named Cobalt in Japan. It's a doubles VGC team with Venusaur. So you can start us. Yeah.
I think the star of the team was supposed to be Charizard, but no. The star of the team today is Venusaur, because we are not boring champion people like Leon. So Venusaur obviously has the ability Chlorophyll. It's holding a Focus Sash. And it has Sleep Powder, Sludge Bomb, Leaf Storm, and Earth Power. This is an offensive Venusaur. This is a YOLO Venusaur.
YOLO Venusaur.
I mean, look at it. It's a totally YOLO Venusaur.
This team has two very different modes, too, that we can talk about. But yeah,
which is very good. Like, a lot of VGCs look like, a VGC teams look like something similar to this.
Yeah.
So, if you can afford to have a dedicated Sunsetter on your current game, you bring Ninetales. It's got Drought, it's got Choice Specs, it's got Heat Wave, Solar Beam, Overheat, and Dark Pulse. It's kind of a YOLO Ninetales as well, but yeah. I'm more struck by the YOLO nature of the Venusaur, because that's not what Venusaur usually does.
Not typically. This gen, though, it's been kind of doing that. The other thing that I've seen Venusaur really carry this gen has been Scope Lens as opposed to
for the sleep powder.
So you can get essentially 100% sleep powders.
It's amazing.
And then Venusaur becomes your new Amoongus this gen.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I love that a lot. I like that a lot. I mean, it's a better Amoongus.
I adore Venusaur. It's just so good.
Yeah, typically,
the only thing Amoongus had on it was Rage Powder.
Yeah. Well, Rage Powder, better defenses. It's a bit bulkier, but...
Yeah, but Amoongus is not going to do anything to you offensively.
Yeah, exactly.
Venusaur is going to destroy your life.
Venusaur is scary. The only thing with that Venusaur is you typically run Synthesis on it, so you have to ditch one of its coverage moves, like Sludge Bomb, Leaf Storm, or Earth Power, so you have to like pick and choose which one you're going to dump.
Yeah, but this is a YOLO Venusaur.
Yeah, it's a YOLO Venusaur, though.
And if you have a problem, that's what Sleep Powder is for, you know?
So. Yeah, so on this team, we also have another Kanto starter being Charizard. I'd like to point out this team has no Gen 8 Pokemon with the exception of regional form. it's Charizard. This is definitely G-Max. It's Heat Wave, Hurricane, Blast Burn, and Protect. Mostly Hurricane, so you can get those max airstreams going, so you can get speed if you don't have sun. It does have solar powers and abilities, so if the sun is out, it's going to hit a lot of things. Not to mention it can set its own sun. It can't set sun if it's G-Max.
No, it cannot.
If it is G-Max, it'd be really cool. Dynamax Charizard would be really cool just so you can set sun, but it's probably not the case. But it's typical Charizard. And then the other one is typical Darmanitan. Choice Scarf, Galarian Darmanitan with Gorilla Tactics, Icicle Crash, Flare Blitz, Super Power, Rock Slider, all of its moves. I mean, I guess you could go big with Galarian Darmanitan and also set sun with Flare Blitz if you really, really, really wanted to. But I mean, it's an attacker. They're out there to do
really
damage. This seems like come out and hit them hard, the VGC team. Come out, hit them hard. But it does have another mode, and I'll let Sublime do it, because Sublime loves this.
Sure. Like, a lot of VGC teams have multiple ways to win. Like, that's very important. Because what if you're going up against a team that counters the sun mode? That's your first plan. That's why you're going to come on with the Trick Room backup team, you know? So it's like, oh, I need to make sure I can counter, like, whatever speed stuff they're doing. You got the Dusclops and Rhyperior combo. Dusclops is rocking that Eviolite, of course. We got that Frisk, which is so good in VGC, because information is everything. So knowing what your item is being... Yeah, knowing items is good.
The more you know.
Exactly. Nightshade, because you know what you're doing. You know what the amount of damage you'll be doing. Pain Split, Bulldoze. That's interesting.
It's probably to decrease speed
on your partner. It's to proc the weakness policy.
Oh, yeah, on the
Rhyperior.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because they pair together. And then Trick Room. This is your Trick Room setter.
Yeah.
It ain't going down in a turn. Then you got the Rhyperior with the weakness policy, paired with the Bulldoze from the Dusclops. I wouldn't be surprised if these are, if the Dusclops is like just slower than the Rhyperior, so it acts first. So that way you'll get your weakness policy off. You've got Solid Rock, so you don't even mind. Even less coming off of the Dusclops, right? You're rocking High Horsepower, not Earthquakes, because we care about our teammates, you know? Rock Slide, because it's so good. Oh, Rock Slide and VGC is so good. Thunder Punch for the coverage and Protect.
Honestly, Thunder Punch is because Melodic. That's the real answer. It's just because Melodic.
Because anything else you got Rock Slide for.
Melodic's very prevalent right now. And so you need to like punch it in the face. Gotta take it down a peg.
You need to punch it in the face a lot before it like coils and puts you to sleep. And it's a whole shebang.
Yep. Melodic. Melodic's a problem. This is a good team. This is a fun-looking team. So we'll put it on the Discord if you want to try it out. You can try this team out in your PFT team match this week. Or I guess it's over now. So never mind. Don't do that.
Next year. There's always next
year. Well, we're planning something out. We're trying to figure out something because we're starting Summer League so late. We're going to try to do some kind of tournament in between. And it might be like a one-day thing where it's just like, hey, you come on and like you play for a day. It's going to be more like akin to a battle clinic, I think. Because we're just like, let's use the in-game tournament functionality.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. We'll definitely see where we're going with that. So on that note, though, I guess this is the team. We're going to kick things on over to the mailbag now. So we will catch you over there. Let's go open some mail.
It's mail time! Send in your email.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the segment of the show where you can send in emails to pucklepodcast@gmail.com and probably have them read on the show. We read everything that you send us, not out loud, but we do read them. So you can go ahead and send that into the show. This segment, as always, is brought to you by the very fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And we typically have a prompt that nobody answered last week, which was, what kind of format are you playing in VGC or in Pokemon in general? Nobody answered it. We did get one wonderful email that we are going to read today on the show. It is a wonderful email from a wonderful friend.
Yes.
And we are also going to ask you guys next week, what is your favorite type? Yeah, let's do that. What's your favorite type? We talked about types today. What's your favorite Pokemon type?
And why?
Because
as we said, there are many different aspects to a type.
Yes.
Although, just real quick, what is our favorite type? Because we don't mail in, and we're here.
Look at my favorite Pokemon, and you will know my two favorite types.
Okay, well, pick one.
No, I can't.
You only get one.
You only get one.
I only get one.
So it's flying.
Is it grass or is it? It's fair. It's flying. You're right, Fetch. It's flying. It's flying. What about you, Fetch?
I guess I have to say water. I don't know.
You don't.
You don't. I don't
you
know.
Don't
I like
have to.
I like electric type. It just feels good. It
okay,
feels
that's
good.
Fine. Mine's dark.
Yeah, that's on brand.
We've been new.
It's on
we've
brand.
We that's, done. That's on brand. All right. So this next email, well, this only email today is from Bosephus.
The one and only.
We love
the one and only Bosephus.
We love him so much.
Yeah. Go ahead, Whimsicott, and read it.
So I'll try to be as bow as possible while I read it, but it is unreachable, so I will do my best.
I don't know if that's
what's
attainable.
What's up, your... yes. What's up, your cool meows and littens? Both of us here with Big Mom Rescue. How's it been? I have missed you all dearly, as this last year has been the wildest yet for me. However, not a week goes by that I don't listen to the show. I'm getting news, learning about the current Poke climate, screaming out obvious Poke quiz answers at the co-host, or sometimes just listening because I miss all my friends.
He knew Charmander got Wing Attack.
He did.
Aww. I don't know. He probably did. It's Bo.
It's Bo. We miss you too, darling. Just hit us up on Discord.
Yeah,
Facebook,
just
hit
us up.
You have us.
We're ready for you.
Sadly, Pokemon has not been very present in my life lately. Pre-COVID, I was caught up pretty heavy in a pretty terrible job, and I finally dug myself out. Good for you, mate.
Yeah, good for you, bud.
With a combo of getting a new job, quarantine, and a small financial blessing, I was able to get Sword and Shield, and honestly, those games kind of broke me. I'm not a competitive player. Keeping up with that rotating meta thing just isn't for me, and I admit that. But Sword and Shield is more than just that, but I'll spare you all of my thoughts on
but
that.
But I want to know, Bo.
Yeah, we want to know, Bo. Instead, in lieu of playing new games, I've been playing old. But fear not, Thatch. I have graduated from my Gen 1 in 2 days. I am now Boltoy deep in Gens 3 and 4. I've completed Leaf Green, Emerald, and Platinum. I've completed PBR with my Platinum team the whole time I played through the game, which, to be honest, was super fun. I finally finished filling my Pokemon Ranch on the Wii and finally got my legit Gen 4 Mew, which was the last Pokemon I needed to complete the Dex in my Pearl save that I have had since launch date on the 22nd of April 2007. My starter was Piplup. Wow, Bo, that's amazing. I am loving playing on the older hardware and playing with all the quirks, and there's so much to do, so much to explore and be rediscovered. Sinnoh has a lot to offer, and if I can get one Jirachi wish, it would be for a true Oras level remake for Diamond and Pearl. And for the love of Arceus, Mew, and all the unknown, please don't give us a Let's Go iteration. Just please, Game Freak, if he has to die, let my boy die with his head held high. Not like that. Anyway, just wanted to write in, say hello, and I love and miss you guys. Keep rocking, Puckle Onions, your best friend forever, Bo. Oh, you are our best friend forever.
He is our best friend forever. That was a Bowie
ball. I love you. I love it. I'm going to cry just out of how much I love Bo.
We love you, Bo.
We love you, buddy.
Send us a message. Hit us up in the DM
yeah,
sometime.
Hit us up, bro. Yeah. Hit us up. We appreciate that email, Bo. And you know what? You know what? Because it's Bo, he gets the Green Tauros badge this week.
No one has ever deserved it
green
more.
He's getting the Green Tauros. Hit us up on Discord for the Green Tauros badge, Bo.
You have to talk to us.
Now you have to talk to us. We gave you a reason. As a true Puckle fan, you know you have to you have to redeem that. Thank you for the email. And as always, we appreciate emails from everybody from the Puckle community. Send them in, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. We really like listening to you guys and reading your emails and your thoughts. And like we love having discussions because a lot of you do have interesting ideas that we don't have from our perspective. Some of you are newer Pokemon fans. I think everybody that's involved with the show, outside of a couple of people, found Pokemon like at Pokemon's inception. So a lot of our views are very skewed towards that perception. And that angle and that perspective. And so I really like
my day.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sublime and I also have Pokemon brain. So that's also a problem. So That's a thing. Did you know that, Sublime?
I did not.
Yeah. So
what is this thing?
So what happened? So people, they did a psychological study. Like, no joke. This is a thing. They did CAT scans and everything of people who had played Pokemon as children, like back in like 98, versus people who didn't at the same time. And then like they did CAT scans of their brains to like see how they developed. And they found that there were like unique differences in the people that played Pokemon. Mm-hmm. In their brains.
Are we smarter? Or
I don't know if there was a conclusion other than there's a difference.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Like, I don't have it because I was too old when I played Pokemon.
Yeah, Whimsicott was. Yeah. Yeah. So Whimsicott was too old.
Josh and I are very close in age.
Yes. Yeah, we're very, very close. So
11 months to the day.
Yeah. So you and I both have Pokemon brain. So it just changed our perception. I think that's honestly, Sublime, I think that's honestly why we had such a hard time with Dexit. We can talk about
that later. That's so informative, yes.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we can talk about that another day. Talk about that another day. So yeah, I really enjoyed that email, but send us more emails. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite type is and why. I just feel good using Ampharos is cool. So electric types are cool. So is Electivire. Electivire is also cool. Electivire is the best Gen 4 Pokemon. I think that's a true statement.
Opinions.
Yeah,
choices.
Yeah.
We are allowed to have opinions.
Yes, that we are. Yes, we thing. Are. if you want to hang out with us more, you can come to our Discord server. The link is always in the show notes. I know on Spotify there were issues with that, so I'm going to try to fix that. It turns out like Spotify is like shoving all of our words together. Bad Spotify. And so we're gonna fix that so you guys can come to the Discord server and hang out with us, get some shiny Pokemon, get some like fun, just good times, join our tournaments, have a really fun time. If you want to keep up with us on social media, Twitter is the best place to do that. We also do offer an Instagram and a Facebook that you can also go and you can follow us on as well, find out about more Puck League good events. You can also get more content. Like, we do more than just this podcast. We're moving in on some YouTube stuff in the near future. I'm very excited for some of this other stuff because we're going to do like some mini podcast type things that I'm very excited for, because it's just like good content that's right up our alley. But you can also watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where I stream at least once a week, if not twice a week. I'm going to move so that there's like one stream every week where there's where it's just like a giveaway and you just watch the bot giveaway in Pokemon and you can get it. I think that'd be really cool if you're into that. So watch out for those. Follow us on Twitch if you want to be in on that. And you can also go ahead and support the show financially in a variety of different ways. One being just dropping a Twitch Prime subscription. If you do have Twitch or Amazon Prime, we really appreciate that. That does come back to us and it lets us do some cool stuff with the community and make the show better and just the community a bigger and better place. We've created something really cool. So I'm very happy with the support that we do have currently. On top of that, go to TeePublic and get a cool t-shirt on our store at TeePublic, whatever the link is after that. I don't know what it is. I'll be completely honest. You can also go to Vite Ramen if you want some noodles. I think they just came out with a new flavor. I don't think the spicy noodles have come out yet, though, unfortunately.
That was going to be the next new flavor.
Yeah, Szechuan pork, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's not out
it's
yet,
It's the
though.
Spicy one.
Yeah, it's not out yet, though. I don't think it ships until June.
No, exactly. No, I think Seth says it's out, but it's shipping currently.
Okay,
so it's not in your
like
house
you can
yet.
Order it, but you can't have it.
Okay, yeah. If you want to get some of that though, you can go to Vite Ramen and use code Puckle for 10% off. We really appreciate the support in that way. You can also go ahead and the most direct way to support us is to go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast, where you can get things like shiny Pokemon giveaways or exclusive other content that we do over there as well. So definitely please go ahead and check that out. If you want to support the show, we really appreciate it, like I said, and it lets us do some really cool things here at Puckle. On that note, though, I think it's a great place to stop. So I have been Trainer Thatch.
I continue to be Sublime.
And I guess I have been the fluffiest flying type.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.